Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 17th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the seventh Sunday of Easter, and also our celebration of the Ascension of the Lord. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and I just want us to get right into things, so let's do what we do around here, and that is to begin in a mindset of thanksgiving. And we start that practice by taking in a big, deep breath. So do that with me, if you will, please. Take in a big breath. And hold on to it. Don't just hold it, but savor it. It's a gift. Let it go. Take in another. And this time, as you hold on to that breath, as you savor it, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy, that light you up inside. As you continue breathing and you hold these things in mind, perhaps open your hands as wide as you can open them. Extend your arms as wide as they'll go. Maybe even turn your face toward the sky. Each and every one of these things that you've called to mind is a gift. The air that you breathe is the breath of life. Give thanks to God for all of it. And let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Lift up your hearts to the Lord. Jesus prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. We come to glorify God and to rejoice in the gift of eternal life through Christ. Jesus prayed for those the Father had given him, that they may be protected and made one. We gather as one body, united in the love and truth of God. Come, then, into the joy of Christ's presence, for he watches over his people with grace and mercy. We worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
Let us take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you. We pray and we give you thanks for the gift of this, your good and living word. And we ask, O God, that you would meet us here as we take time to consider everything that you have to say to us in this word. And we pray that you would abide with us for a while. In fact, we ask that you'd save us, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could truly hear what it is you have to say to us in this moment. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, on this, the seventh Sunday in Easter, as we come to the end of Eastertide, we are blessed to have these readings from the Gospel of John and from the book of Acts, the story of Jesus' deep and heartfelt pastoral prayer for his disciples, and Jesus' ascent into heaven, and the commissioning given to the disciples by the angels who stand near. Jesus modeling prayer, the angels encouraging prayers, and then the group of them gathering together in prayer. It may be apparent at this point that I want to focus our attention on prayer. And I pray to be brief, because what I want you to hear is that you can pray and that you ought to pray. And perhaps I'm speaking most directly for those who find prayer difficult, not sure how to do it or what the point of it is. We find in Jesus, in the 17th chapter of John, as he has done a brilliant job of encouraging and teaching his disciples, preparing them for what is to come, his crucifixion and everything that will happen afterwards. We see in the prayer his deep love for God, the one he calls Father, about how blessed he feels to have been among these 12, that he is confident that they have heard him, that at this point they have been equipped with enough. For 3 years they have walked with him. They have seen signs and wonders. They have seen modeled for them a prayerful life of active engagement and times of retreat and meditation. And so he turns them over and trusts that they will experience the same loving care and empowerment that he has received in his time among them, with the hope that they would be unified in love, the exact same love between God the Father and God the Son would bring a unity of love among them, so that they would be in communion with the same love that is between the Father and the Son, given to them and to us through the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And so, having heard this prayer, we come to the day of Ascension. I'm just going to start at verse 6. When they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" They still have very practical things on their minds. When is all this political system and economy going to be put right? He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. He continues to amaze. And they're so amazed that they're just awestruck, and they're staring at this thing, and they know they're all seeing it. Maybe someone gives a side glance to the other, "Do you see this?" And their eyes are fixed on it. Until they're interrupted. Two men in white robes stood by them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, Sabbath's day. Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And I think it's important for us to name the names. Certainly Luke thought it was important enough to name the names. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these, with one accord, this unifying love that Jesus prayed that they would have, all of these, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer. And who else was praying with them? The women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. One of the most powerful, life-altering moments in the Gospels, in the story of Jesus and in the story of the world. Because as you continue on in the book of Acts, as we approach the day of Pentecost, this small band of faithful people, tucked away in a private room, still looking for courage and strength and answers, they begin in prayer. Constant, earnest prayer, individual prayers, prayers among their circle. And the Spirit comes. And the door is flung open. And the prayers spill out into the streets. And very quickly, others join the prayer. And these 12, they go out and offer witness to everything they've seen and heard, so that the world would come to know the truth, that Jesus is Lord. I hear us being commissioned by that same Spirit, that we might stop and look around. It's easy for us to be awestruck at the thought of the divine, an ascension into heaven, somewhere far off, someplace unseen that I can't touch or taste, but there's a music that I can hear that I want to sing in harmony with. Prayer. It's essential. It's what we do to be in accord with the others, with James and Philip and Thomas and Alphaeus and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some of you I know who listen to the podcast are great prayer warriors. This is not a huge leap for you. Carry on. Go in peace. Keep at it. Invite others into your prayer circle. But especially for those of you for whom prayer still feels very elusive, just do it. And all of the questions you have about prayer, all of the questions you have about God or the teachings of the church or the Bible, make that your prayer. Confess your confusion. God, I hear about this thing called prayer. I have friends who will say they'll be praying for me, or even sometimes I myself might say, I'll be praying for you, and I'm not even sure what I mean. Be bold enough, courageous enough, vulnerable enough to start a conversation with the presence you feel in that quiet space. And if in that quiet space you feel all alone, take a chance. Invite the Helper, the Holy Spirit, into the space and pour out your heart, all of it. The stuff you might not say to anybody else, the things you're most ashamed of, the things you're most proud of, the way your heart soars or the way your heart aches, pour it all out. Allow it into the room. Maybe right away, or maybe over the course of days and weeks, you'll feel an anointing. You'll find a peace that is beyond your understanding. You are in accord with the others as they pray and seek guidance. Help to come up with the right words. Help to break those habits that are bringing you down. Help to dry your tears. Help to find new opportunity. It's real. It's powerful. And there are many people around you that can offer you a story about how prayer has changed their lives. I don't think I should say much more. Perhaps I've gone on too long. As always, I encourage you to go back to the readings for today. Read the 17th chapter of John. Read the beginning of the book of Acts. And perhaps when you hit a bump or a question, pause and pray and say, God, I need some help. You've promised me holy spiritual help and I need it. And whether you're new at prayer or whether you're a seasoned prayer warrior, you will find fresh, loving, energizing, good news to which we can say, Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we call out to you and we pray. And we come to you with contrite hearts. You know us, God. You know our actions and our inactions. You know our impulsive speech. You're aware of the times when we should have spoken up and we didn't. You know our sin. As we make a moment at the beginning of this prayer to confess these things to you, we want so badly to walk in your way, to sing the song that you are singing. And sometimes we just get distracted. You know this about us. And so we confess these things in order that we might step back into your grace, receive your healing and your forgiveness. We are so grateful for this gift, God. And as we pray, we call to mind this your beautiful and good world. And we pray for people in positions of power and influence, that you would lift up among them disciples, those anointed with your word and your grace, those who can use their power and influence according to your will and in your way. We pray for friends and neighbors, the folks we meet when we're out running errands or waiting at the doctor's office, these people that are strangers to us, but you know them all very well. We pray your blessings upon them. And God, you know our hearts. You know the joys and the concerns that we carry around with us. Sometimes we write them down. And sometimes they keep us up late at night. They look more like worries than prayers, but they seem to make it onto the same list. And so we take a moment to have the faith and the courage to open up these lists and to hand them to you. And we pray that you would consider every word. And as you consider these petitions of prayer, O God, we wait silently to feel your presence and to hear your voice. We break our silence. it seems all too soon. Help us to practice peace and quiet in our everyday lives. And help us to remember this prayer that we've inherited as a gift, this prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together in this moment, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a keen awareness of the God who is with us, the God who is for us, the God who draws our attention heavenward and encourages us to look around, to see him in all places and in all faces. The God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.